for filling in for me and helping me out there. Ephesians 4, we're just going to talk. I probably won't go through all my notes today since we're a little bit late here, but we'll see how far we get. We're going to talk about the idea of unity, especially again in the time we're currently entering in our country, when things seem to be so polarized, and we live in a day where political views are no longer held kind of just personally, and understanding that some people have differences in the way that they vote and believe about different policies, but it's kind of a dividing line that people kind of hate each other on the other side anymore. Now, I'm not going to talk today about politics, but that's the last thing you want to hear after being bombarded with that stuff all week at home. But the idea of unity, especially during a time when our country is entering into such a divisive time, the people of God have got to understand the call to unity and how we ought to live that out amongst each other, and how we ought to model that in the world wherever we are with the people around us. So Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the works of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So what we find here in Ephesians 4 is a profound call to unity. It is a call for the people of God to recognize that God is unity, and that we are to receive what already exists in God. The Apostle Paul frames this here in Ephesians 4. He frames unity as a call that we've received and that we ought to live up to. It is something that we understand. Again, we have this information that's set before us, that God is unity. He is calling you to unity. And now it is my responsibility to embrace what already exists in God and then to maintain that and live up to that in my relationships. The Apostle Paul expresses that we ought to have an eagerness to maintain or preserve this unity. Now, the first thing that we understand is from this passage and all throughout the Word of God is that unity is not something that you and I create. It is not something that we decide that we are going to create here together. We don't decide that we're going to create unity, but unity exists in God, and it is something that we maintain. It is something that we receive. It is something that we receive in our spirit. It is something that we maintain then among each other. It is not something, though, that any human can create. You see, we can make a decision to do the same things together. We can make a decision to model the same behaviors together. But that does not mean that you are in unity with one another. You see, unity is something that happens in my spirit when I receive who God is, when I receive His principles, and when I choose to walk according to them. When I do that, then, I am immediately in unity with the people around me. You see, I am in greater unity in that moment when I look off to God. A.W. Tozer has a great quote about this. I wish I would have pulled it up. But he was talking about the idea of 100 pianos tuned to the same fork are by nature more in unity to one another than they ever could be by tuning themselves to each other. What that means is, for instance, there's times that I could tune my guitar by ear. And I can get it pretty close. But if the next person has a guitar and he starts tuning off of me by ear, it's going to be close. But the next person tunes off that person. You see, you get 15 guitars down the line, and they're going to be pretty bad by the end of it. But you see, if each one of those guitars comes over here and plugs in, you can't see it. It's below the piano here. I have a guitar tuner. If every one of those people comes over here and plugs into that tuner and tunes according to that, they are all by nature united in that source. And you see, in the same way, when you and I make a decision to look off to the Lord and who He is, each individual person making a decision to do that, then we are all in unity, far more unity than we could ever experience by deciding that I'm going to start trying to just act like the people around me. You see, what unity requires is an individual making a decision that I want to know God. I want to know who He is. I want to know what His principles are, and I want to live those principles out. Regardless of what anybody else around me does, I will live out the principles of God. You see, that is where unity exists. It is not something that we create or conjure up, but it is something that already exists in the nature of God, and we choose to step into unity by knowing God and living according to His principles. This all begins in understanding who God is. We've talked about this before, this idea that A.W. Tozer brings to light. He says this. He says a right conception of God is basic not only to systematic theology, but to practical Christian living as well. It is to worship what the foundation is to the temple, where it is inadequate, meaning a right conception of God. Where that conception of God is inadequate or out of plumb, the whole structure must sooner or later collapse. I believe there is scarcely an error in doctrine or a failure in applying Christian ethics that cannot be traced finally to imperfect and ignoble thoughts about God. What he is saying is, this is the foundation of everything that we do. Understanding who God is, who He has revealed Himself to be, and His principles, that is the foundation upon which we build everything that we do. Not just as the church collective, but in my own life, building my family's life on the foundation of a right understanding of who God has revealed Himself to be. In that, then, our families will experience far more completeness or wholeness or peace than we ever could in any other way. It starts with a right understanding of God and then teaching our children a right understanding of God. It starts in a congregation being united together and walking in unity together. That begins on the foundation of each individual member deciding, again, I want to know who God is. Not just who people tell me that God is, but I want to know who He is. You see, unity is more than God just deciding that He wants His people to get along. Simply that it would be good and helpful if we would actually like each other. Unity or oneness is God's very nature. It's not an arbitrary decision that God wants us to simply like each other or get along in certain matters, but it is God's very nature. Oneness or unity is who He is. And His people, in a relationship with Him and each other, could be no other way than modeling or embracing or living in the unity and oneness that is God's nature. You see, all of God's attributes work together at once. Everything that he is works together at once in perfect harmony, unity, or oneness. When God expresses love, he is not suppressing holiness or justice or any other attribute in the expression of his love. When God expresses justice, he is not suppressing love or mercy. When God acts in judgment or justice, that is still a loving act. God does not suppress any part of his being to act in a different way, but he is by nature united and one in all of his being and his actions. You see, as opposed, God's nature being united or at one, as opposed to the sinful nature of man, which is in discord and division in itself and in relation to others. James 1:8 says that mankind in sin is double-minded or unstable in all they do. You see, sometimes when we think of discord and division, we think of it in relation to other people, that we're in discord or divided from one another. But you can have discord and division in your own spirit. It says the man under sin is double-minded and unstable in all he does because there is discord in his spirit. But you see, then we find that man is also in this sinful nature in discord or division in relation to others. Proverbs 6, starting verse 16, says this. It says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. It says that these are things that God hates. The person who stirs up conflict in the community, it says God hates that because it is totally opposed to his very nature. God is unity. He is oneness. It is not something he has. It is who God is. And you see anything outside of that nature, then God hates it. Why? It's not an arbitrary decision to hate it, but he understands that that discord or that which is outside of his nature of oneness and unity, that which is outside of that, brings nothing but shame and discord and hate in all of the things that we find in this earth. That is the root of it. The root of all of those things is human stepping outside of a relationship in the oneness and unity of God in pursuing their own way, and that leads to discord and division and hate and all the things that we find here in this earth. You see what we find then? Is that peace when we receive the work of Christ, binding our spirit back together. This is what he's doing in the work of salvation. The work of salvation is a moment where we step through a door, we are delivered from sin and death in Christ, but that begins a work in us. That is the beginning of a work in us wherein Christ is reforming me and cultivating within me his character, that character of oneness and unity that exists in God. He is creating that in me, and that begins to manifest itself, or should manifest itself, in my relationship with God and with other people. But what we find here is that peace then comes into our spirit through this work where Christ begins to bind me back together and create within me the unity and oneness that he has in his nature. That peace then is brought into my spirit as the Lord changes us from the nature of discord and division to a nature that is brought into unity with his nature. In this then, we are bound together in unity with other believers. Ephesians 4 verse 3, it says, be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, the commitment of God's people ought to be a commitment to this unity or oneness. Verse 4, it says, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You see, our commitment, the same way that God is one in his being, he is united in himself, in the Trinity, the Godhead, he is united in all ways. He calls us to the same oneness, to the pursuit of that oneness, unity with God, unity in my character, and unity with other believers. Now, this unity that God works in us, that he creates in me, that I step into and receive from him, it is something then that we are responsible to maintain. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1. I therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, it says unity is of the Spirit. Be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. That means that unity is from God. It is something, it is not something you create, but unity is something that you preserve or maintain as you walk with the Spirit. It says maintain the unity of the Spirit. Now that word maintain in the Greek language means to guard or preserve. Maintain, keep, guard, or preserve. So understand what this is saying then. Be eager. Be eager. All of God's people have an eagerness to maintain, to keep, to preserve, or guard unity that exists in God that he will establish in you if you will walk with him. Be eager to guard that and preserve it among you. I think I have about half my notes today. I don't have any idea what's happening with my notes, so we're just going to talk a little bit. Be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. I thought it was a little choppy when I was going through that. Be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You see, the point of this, what we find here, is again that sometimes we have the idea that unity is something that we decide that we're going to have with one another. But everything in Christianity, everything, there's not one thing that doesn't come down to the individual person making a decision that I'm going to pursue the Lord. Every person has to make a decision. I want to know God. I want to know who he is. I want to find unity in my spirit. You understand how big of a thing that is, that there is discord in our spirit. And this happens, you can see this manifest in yourself sometimes when you're pushed past the point of comfort and things start coming out of your mouth, right, that don't reflect the character of Jesus. You see, maybe many days that week you've tried to pursue the Lord and you've been trying to walk with him and you want him to fix these things within you. But then something happens that pushes you out of your comfort zone and you just start speaking things that are certainly not of Jesus. Why? Because there's division in your spirit. Because there's discord in your spirit. And you see, what Jesus wants to do within you is establish within you what exists in the nature of God. That unity or oneness. This, before we get to the point of unity with other people, I need discord and division to be done away with within me. I need to have unity in my spirit with God. And it says, keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You understand, we've talked about this before. A couple months ago, I think we talked about this idea. That sometimes we get this idea that biblical peace is, or peace is the absence of conflict. And peace is, to some extent, it's the absence of conflict. But if you study that word, you will find that, especially throughout the Old Testament, the idea of peace is much more about the idea of wholeness or completeness and less about the idea of the absence of conflict. Now, what that tells us is, it says, keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's saying that the bond is wholeness or completeness. What you will find biblically is for you to experience peace is not in the absence of conflict or wars all over the earth or political division, but the peace that you are seeking is wholeness or completeness that happens when the work of Jesus is done in your spirit, ridding you of division and discord in your heart and binding you together in the character, the oneness and the unity that exists in God. This is what the people of God need. This is what you individually need. And this is what our world needs. You want to see wars cease and all of those kind of things? You want to find political unrest to be done away with within our country? That will happen when people start to experience wholeness or completeness in their spirit. We don't need everybody to just think the same way. We need people to be whole or complete in God. And you see, then when my spirit, when I overcome division and discord in my spirit, then I can start being the person who maintains or preserves or who guards unity with other believers. Because I actually love them. Not because, well, I just have to figure out how to get along with them. That's because I actually love you. You understand what happens here? The Word of God says that the love of God, meaning the sacrificial love of God, a love that is not dependent, it is expressed not dependent on the merit of the one who receives, but is it expressed simply out of a heart to sacrifice for others. That love of God, which he expressed in Jesus, the Word of God tells you it is poured into your heart, but then it overflows out of you into others. And you see, when I am one in my spirit with God, when I don't have discord in my spirit, when God is making me complete or whole, I become a vessel that is able to express that love of God, the sacrificial love of God to the people around me. And it no longer, unity no longer becomes a behavior that I have to try to live up to, but it becomes the natural outflow of my heart because I am directly connected to the God who is one and united by his very nature. You see, what this all comes down to is a relationship with the Lord takes you past the place of simply trying to reform behaviors. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have to work on things. But you see, when I pursue a oneness with God, when I pursue unity with God, that begins to flow out of me into every other relationship. Because I start to act like God. In all of the ways. You see, I can start to bear the difficulties that I face with other people, the people that irritate you. I can start to bear those things because I'm connected with the God who has carried and put up with all of the things that I have done that have irritated him. Could you imagine? If you knew all of the things that you have done, the God looked just kind of looked at you and thought, man, would you just listen to what I'm telling you? It was years ago. We were at a restaurant in, I don't know, Christian was probably four or five at that point, and there was, I don't even know who we were all with, but there was a bunch of people, there was like four or five kids the same age at the time. And they're all just kind of running around, and it's just, at some point, like, will you just listen to me? Will you just sit down? But then I was thinking after, like, how many times in your life God has thought that about you? Like, we think that about kids, but could you imagine God looking at adults sometimes, Wayne, will you just listen to me? Will you just sit down? Will you just do what I'm asking you to do? Because of all of the discord and division follows that moment where I say, God, no, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it mine. You can learn a lot about your interaction, a lot about your standing before God by your interactions with kids. Overall, what I'm saying to you today is that unity exists in God. It is His very nature. And God wants you to participate in His nature. The Word of God tells us this. The Word of God tells us He wants us to participate in His nature. He wants to rid you of division and discord in your spirit. That is what leads to a lack of peace in your life. Division and discord in your spirit. And that's not dependent on other people. You see, at some point, we've told our kids the same thing. At some point, we're not responsible for what other people do. You're responsible for you. Your peace is not dependent on other people. Your peace is not dependent on what's happening in this world. Your peace is dependent on the wholeness that you find in the work that the Spirit of God does within you, ridding you of division and discord. And our peace and unity together as a body of Christ is dependent on that same work. Because we can decide to try to behave the same and try to decide that we're just going to like each other. But that only goes so far. But you see, if the individual members of a congregation have the sacrificial love of God established in their own individual heart, that's a different story. Because I don't have to just decide I'm going to like you. I understand that Christ has given me all things when I deserve nothing. And what do I have then, other than a responsibility to express the same love to the people around me? Because you can be sure, for the most part, the irritation that you feel from sometimes the people around you is far less than the weight of your sin that Jesus carried on the cross. Not even comparable. God is calling us to wholeness or completeness in His Spirit. Be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. God will work that in you, and He calls us then to guard and preserve that among each other. The worship team can come up as being the close. That will manifest itself, guarding and maintaining that, preserving that will manifest itself in many ways. It will manifest itself in the ways that we speak to each other and to other people. It will manifest itself in our actions, whether we're willing to sacrifice for one another, whether we're willing to be generous to one another, all kinds of different ways. But you see, what this comes down to is our world is full of division and discord. That is not a collective group. That begins in the individual. We find division and discord in our world because there is division and discord within the human heart, individual human hearts. God is calling His people out of that to unity that is in Him. And when we receive that, He calls you every day to get up and decide that I'm going to guard this and preserve it and maintain it. Because there is nothing else that is worth more than that in this earth. There is nothing else that this world needs more than completeness in the human spirit. Wholeness that comes from a relationship with God. That is what our world needs. And individuals have to make a decision. I'm going to pursue God because it only exists in Him. It is not something we can decide to have together. Unity will only come. And again, as this congregation, we're not responsible for anybody else outside these walls. You and I make a decision today that we are going to pursue unity, not decide that we're just going to get along together and try to do some good things together, but we want to know God. We want to know wholeness and completeness in Him. And then we will trust Him to work that in us and through us, in our communities, in our families, and all through our country. It's the only hope that we have. If you need to pray about anything this morning, you can come to this side. Somebody will pray with you, you can come to this side. Pray by yourself. Lord, we thank You today again for Your goodness, Your love. We thank You for Jesus and all that He has done in us. We thank You that You have not left us to ourselves, but You have offered us Your very nature. that you will create within us the character of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would help us to reflect his nature. We pray that you would help us to guard it and preserve it, maintain it. We pray that you would help us to be people who would honor you in all things. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and all that you will do in us as we walk with you. It is your name we pray. Amen.